Little children, let us love, not in word or speech, but in truth and action. Please be seated. This is the Good Shepherd Sunday. It's always celebrated the fourth Sunday after Easter. And as I was contemplating and preparing for the sermon, as I read each one of the readings, they were just packed full of things to think about and to remind us what it means to be Christian. There is a story about Amma, who is the hugging saint from India. She lived in Kerala in India, a poor community, and she was sent off to school. She only got to go to fourth grade because after that they pulled her out of school because she was the darkest of the children, so she was left to stay home to take care of her mother and help out in the community. But Amma, when she went off to school as just a little girl, realized that there were children that were coming to school in her class that had no food for lunch. So she shared her lunch with one of the children. And she did that every day. And all of a sudden, the other children in her class noticed what she was doing. And they looked around and saw other children without lunch. So they too began sharing their lunch. So that whole group of children all had enough to eat for lunch every day. It took one act of kindness. One act of kindness for a whole community to be fed of children in that school, that one act. And that is what Jesus asked of us. One act of kindness, one act of compassion, to be aware of what is around us and where we are needed. It's so easy in this day and age to close our eyes. I did social work for 45 years, and I will tell you, I saw things and heard things that I wished I could erase from my mind. The poverty, the abuse, the neglect, the hunger that are among the people. And yet, we are a wealthy society. I'm comfortable. I have plenty to eat and enough to throw away if I don't get around to it. And yet, there are children and people going to bed hungry. People come to my door weekly here at church asking for some money or a Kroger card just to buy food. And we're not talking people that are just homeless. We're talking about working poor. People who say, I make enough that I can pay my rent, buy gas to get to work, but I don't make enough to have food on the table. I don't have enough for medicine. I don't have enough some days to pay for gas to get to work. And they're working. And yet, here we are, a wealthy nation, and we're going $1 trillion in debt. Figure that out. And how we're going in debt is on the back of the poor. Just this week, our Senate passed a bill that anyone on Medicaid has to go to work about 27 hours a week. Now, I don't know if you know, but most people on Medicaid aren't able to work. Maybe they have young children at home and it's the family, or maybe there's something going on. But I have found that people that can work do work, even if they struggle. I have seen people taking 3 buses to get to a job in this community. And so on the back of poor, we decide who to punish, those who are least likely. We just gave Nestles the ability to pump more water out of our lake for $400. And yet we cannot give water to Flint, Michigan, who they even now say that the water, if they bathe in it, their body itches. They're afraid to drink the water. And they have been like this 4 years. What is wrong? we're allowed to dump our plastic in the oceans and we're killing the fish and the whales and everything. Our priorities are screwed up. And Jesus is asking us to open our eyes. Open our eyes to that which we can. We're not going to be able to take on everything, but one little act can make a difference. This week, the Episcopal Church of our diocese sent out an email requesting that we sign a petition so that we stop pumping oil under the Great Lake on the Straits. That oil, that pipeline, it's over 50 years old and we know it's corroded. We know that if it blows, we lose the water that we have. And yet somebody's making money on the backs of the poor, on the backs of us. Somehow, as Christians, we're asked to speak out. In the reading today of Acts, Peter was on his way to temple, and he saw a man who was sick, and he healed him in Jesus' name. And because of that act, he was called on the carpet by the high priest. The reason was, it wasn't the act, it was the fact it got noticed. It was the fact that the Christian church after Jesus died was growing from 12 apostles and a few disciples into 5,000. And that scared the Sadducees, who were responsible to keep everything at a calm because they didn't want an uprising so the Romans would not get upset with them. Keep everything calm. Don't make waves. Why did Jesus get hung on the cross? Because he made waves. Because he pointed out the injustices. We are asked to point out the injustices, to use our voice when we're able to use our political power when we're capable of, and to make a difference. And we're doing that. The little thrift shop, all the money that has been raised has been given away to help others, to help this church and to help our community and to help others that may not be able to help themselves. Barbara Bush's funeral was this week. And here was the president and first lady, who were Episcopalians, gave it a good name. And what they did, the priest talked about, the rector. They went to church on Sunday. The president served coffee during coffee hour. Barbara Bush, she showed up for the women's knitting group and knitted and crocheted for those who needed prayer shawls or whatever. They became part of their community. They were humble people. And they used their positions of power for good. We may not always agree with their politics, but what they did, Barbara Bush looked at those who could not read and worked on that literacy. And there was a story about her told that there was a man who had to read the preamble in front of a huge group, and Barbara Bush was behind waiting for him to go on stage, and he was very nervous, and she saw it. And she said to the man, "Would it help if I read with you?" And he looked at her and said, "Yes." So she went on stage, and together they started reading. And as his voice got stronger, hers got less, until he was reading alone. That's what a Christian does. We help build people up until they can do it on their own. That's what we're being called to do, to find our own way of being the light of Christ to everyone we meet, to be the voice of Christ when people are voiceless, and to use our power for good, not evil. One at a time, one step at a time, one voice at a time. And perhaps, being a wealthy nation, We can take what we have and not be fearful that by sharing we will lose. By giving to others we'll be deprived. But rather that by becoming a community, a larger community, we will all be better for it. It seems like such a simple thing, and yet, for some reason, we're so caught up in fear that we're afraid to let go. We're afraid to say, as I had one teacher who said, "Sister, speak the unspeakable." So I think Jesus is asking us to speak the unspeakable for those who cannot speak for themselves. Amen.